Well, it's down to the Elite Eight. And I think I just insulted the NCAA in March Madness. Anyway, Bachelorette time. We're talking to the Bachelorette again, episode 6, according to Wes, who's keeping up with these things. My name is Jeffrey. My name is, we'll talk more about that in a few minutes, won't we? I'm Jeffrey Rosato, and along with me for the ride, as usual, my good Bachelorette following buddies, Dina and Lisa from TheBeautyBroads.com. They do their own little celebrity kind of show, Celebrity Side Dish podcast. Ladies, good evening.
Hey, Jeffrey.
It was a perfect harmony. Well, a little pitchy, as Randy would say.
Practicing that.
But anyway, I tell you what, we're kind of pressed for time here, and as we're taping here, I know you guys have got to get yourselves a little so you think you can dance. So we're going to get right into it here. The show started off on a train, and I got to tell you guys, I love trains. It was so romantic, and some of my favorite movies of all time are based on trains, you know, Hard Day's Night, Silver Streak, and what have you, and the cinematography, and just everything was just wonderful. How'd you guys feel about the train setting this week?
The place is beautiful. I couldn't get over the scenery.
Yeah. It made me want to take a train ride, and then what, the DC train wreck happened, and I was like, maybe not.
Perhaps not, yeah. But
if you could have a whole train to yourself like that in those big windows, I mean, that, and I guess anybody can do that. I mean, I guess that's, they're using this show to advertise a lot of hotels and restaurants and trains. So let's do it, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we didn't have, you know, like a 30-minute credit roll at the end of this particular episode. There's so many
places. You've got connections, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but... maybe after this episode, we'll see. But anyhow, but just date number one. Well, speaking of having the train to yourself, that's pretty much what Robbie and Jilly had for a while. I wonder if she's cool with Jilly, because Chris Harrison calls her that all the time when he talks about her on his Entertainment Weekly blog and Twitter, of course. But anyway, let me just say this to open up my thoughts about date number one. If Jillian ever comes over to my house, she's not getting anywhere near my fine china, let me tell you that, because she's not going to be a bartender.
No. I'd say it was kind of hard on that bouncing train to do those bartending tricks.
I never thought about that. You've got a point there.
Yeah, that was that date. I guess it's difficult to have a real exciting date while you're on a train. I mean, they're really struggling to come up with the exciting atmosphere. And
you have limited resources. Yeah. What can you do?
Yeah, they go in the galley. Let's go in the galley, and then we'll go in the caboose.
But guys, I got to tell you this, you know, and this is going to be one of very many, did I say that, moments from this episode. And poor Robbie, bless his heart. I mean, he actually uttered this on the show, and I hope I'm getting this quotation right. You know, Robbie's apologies in advance if it's kind of off by a word or two, but it's been a long time since I've been able to love somebody, and it's like, I'm going, can we get a dialogue coach on the set here? I mean, can we write this line or something? I mean, anyway, girls, what'd you think about that?
Robbie was full of one-liners like that, terrible things. It was just a disaster from beginning to end. He also said, love doesn't have a job. He's in between jobs at the moment. Love doesn't have a job. What else do you say, Lisa?
Well, his family's cursed.
Yeah, he's got the descant curse where they never get married. You can tell Jillian was a little concerned.
Well, that was encouraging. But let me tell you this. I mean, experience from one who's been there, Tip. You know, one thing I know, and tell me if I'm right, girls, you know, don't be nervous during these special getting to know you moments with a woman, you know, and more important. Than that, don't say you're nervous. And it was one of those, you know, I had many instances where I'm going, no, 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 to the TV, and this was one of them.
Oh, man, we were too. I mean, you and I are watching this show differently. Lisa and I watch it in Jillian's shoes, and you watch it in the guy's shoes, how you would handle it.
Right.
Him telling her he's nervous, that's kind of endearing and cute to say that, but then you got to get over it. I mean, at some point, you got to man up. And, you know, especially with Jillian, she's ready for somebody to take care of her, I think. And Robbie is just not, wouldn't make me feel secure. And she tried to suggest that he have the bartending school. And no, I don't really want to do that. And here's another one, Jeffrey. He said, I have so many ideas in my head, it's stupid.
Is it okay for a guy to promise these things and, you know, give you these little, you know, whimsical things that might be happening, you know, stuff developing in his world, and you're thinking, uh-huh, or, you know, right. Do you think Jillian was thinking that? I mean, we can't be in her shoes, of course, but do you think possibly these little, you know, I don't want to say delusions of grandeur or anything like that, because I'm sure Rob is a very bright guy, and, you know, he's got a lot of great ideas about possibly furthering his career past bartending, but, you know, do you want something? I'm sure a woman wants something more stable and out there that's already established as far as a career. And if that's the case, if I'm on the right wavelength here, well, just tell me. Tell me your thoughts.
My takeaway from the conversation with Robbie was that he has no clue what he wants to do. He quite possibly lives in his parents' basement still, and he's pretty happy with that.
Just for the record, I want to say I own my own home and I own my own computer. And just to get that out straight in case I still have a chance with Jillian.
And anyway, you have a job.
And I have. You might say I have two jobs. This job of being an online media guy and also, you know, the one of the master control operators for the ABC affiliate in my hometown of Huntsville, Alabama. So everything's secure. But anyway, but just, yeah, I see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from. I really do.
Yeah, she kind of wants it both ways. She wants somebody who's spontaneous and fun and maybe not as responsible, but yet she wants them to be able to take care of her. So it's kind of tough, but Robbie is has no direction. He's directionless right now, and I think she finally realized it. He is not the one.
Exactly, and it came, and you know how something is going to happen, and you're waiting for it to happen, and to me, it came. I accidentally had my closed captioning on during the first part of the show, and probably the most unintentionally hilarious closed captioning moment of the week, Bright's squeaking.
How did it say that?
And it was like, I knew it, man. I knew it. I knew it. Oh, my God. He was gone.
Oh, that was cold. Yeah, Lisa and I were talking about that earlier today when he's like, what did he say? He said,
why are we slowing down?
And did they just kick him off, Jeffrey? I mean, did he have to ride that elk back to Texas or wherever he's from? Do they have transportation for him? Is he still? Do we need to send a helicopter for him?
Well, the National Guard has been on standby, but I got to tell you guys something. I don't know if you read Chris Harrison's blog this week, but they had some production problems while that sequence was going on, and poor Jillian was pretty much forced to, you know, do her on-camera goodbye or, you know, I'm sorry, blah, 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 like 30 minutes later. I mean, bless her heart, as if she doesn't have enough crap to go through emotionally or hasn't been through enough, you know, last week with Eddie and all that.
So you're saying that she told him that she was not going to give him the rose, that he got off the train, and then they had to reshoot her saying goodbye to him?
Yeah, something like that. You know, just it's something along those lines. And for those of us that need a refresher, and I definitely need a refresher before the next pop quiz, do go to Chris's blog. Chris Harrison has a wonderful blog, side note, at Entertainment Weekly or EW.com. He's a wonderful writer. Lots of great behind-the-scenes stuff. A little plug there for you, Chris. But just, what a heartbreaking moment. And even the guys. I take it that he really impressed a lot of the guys on the show because, oh, my God, here's Michael, and he's crying. I mean, what a guy.
I think that has to do with his age.
And we'll talk more about Michael. You know, Michael's another, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but just Michael's another one of these guys that, you know, man, he just sounds like his voice hasn't changed yet, and he's like early Charlie Sheen or something, and it's just unfreaking believable, but just, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he was thinking, oh, my gosh, they're going to kick us all off the train out in the wilderness, and what's he wearing? He's wearing
flip-flops.
Yeah, he always wears flip-flops. There's no way he would survive. He would get frostbite.
Exactly, but just one person that probably would not be afraid and thinks he's going to walk away the victor at the end of the show, my favorite guy in the world, oh yes, Wes. And here was my first I hate Wes moment, number one. I mean, he goes in there with that sleepy little eyed look and his, you know, moosed up hair, go, hey, baby, you know, making his move and all that crap. I mean, give me a break. But like the old angel on one shoulder and you got the devil on the other, I'm alternately going, you jerk, and then smooth.
And Jillian falls for it, Jeffrey.
And she did, and it's just, I don't think she's faking it, girls. I mean, it's just like, oh, somebody please tell her. And let me tell you another thing about Wes that aggravates me. What is the deal with these damn arm length tattoos? I mean, are they like a plan B for an animation career in case the Kenny Chesney ripoff doesn't work out? You know, I mean, John, he makes that girl, Megan. Y'all remember Megan from American Idol this year, the one that had the tattoo that I thought was going to come through
tattoo.
The
TV?
Yeah, the arm. Yeah, I thought that tattoo was so vivid, I thought it was going to come through the TV and kill me. I swear to God. It almost looked 3D. But anyway, oh my gosh. I mean,
how'd you like it when he told the camera that the fame that he was getting from being on the show, he could taste it and eat it.
Yeah, and it becomes a part of him. That was disgusting.
I spell P-A-T-H-E-T-I-C. I think that's how you spell pathetic. Yeah.
Pathetic. Oh, okay. I'm going to keep an eye. It's like, uh-oh. Oh, my gosh.
I'll be in Washington, D.C. next May for the spelling bee. Anyway, but just, oh, my God. I mean, just, oh, don't get me started. But you know what? We're going to talk more about this idiot a little bit later on. But right now, I guess we talked with, oh, gosh, what's the next moment we want to talk about, girls? We want to talk about... Alone time, they're still on the train, and we have a group date going on.
Exactly. We have Tanner, Wes, Michael, Jake, Jesse, and Kipton, and Reed says, well, what about me? And they're all like, dummy, that means you have the next one day. So they all left Reed on the train, and they went snowshoeing, which was very exciting, wasn't it?
Well, I think it's a couple of notches above curling, I'll put it that way.
Apparently, snowshoeing means falling down a lot in the snow.
And so just, go ahead. Don't
I was just saying, it's obviously more difficult than it looks walking.
I got to tell you guys, you know, before, while they were putting their shoes on and everything like that, you know, Tanner P, and he's going, I got to get to her feet. I got to get to her feet. Oh, my God. God. How nutty was that?
He is crazy, Jim.
That's Tanner P.
And just, oh, my God. And while that's going on, you know, while they're having their fun out in the snow, there's this little cutaway of Reed. And there's this, you know, she's not as glamorous as Jillian or something, but she's a real cute little, I don't know if she's a cook on the train or something. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's going to hit on the waitress. Don't do it, dude. No.
Glasses on, glasses off. Glasses off.
Oh, my God. And speaking of Reed, do you think maybe a little Matthew Perry going on with the glasses, you know?
I have called that before, Jeffrey. I have seen that, definitely. A little, maybe more Chandler Bing than Matthew Perry. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But, oh, God, we got to talk about Jake's mother thing. And yet another, no, dude, no, you know. And one of those I don't know, man, kind of moments, you know. And, my God, instead of wasting time and being insecure and dilly-dallying and all that, you know, fumbling around, he should have and could have just let it all hang out and did that big, I'm crazy about your routine right then and there. But, oh, man, and as we found out, you know, big, huge, eventual, fatal mistake.
Yeah, Jake is just a, you know who he reminds me of, and not necessarily looks, but actions, laugh, smile, is Tom Cruise. And I don't know if you're a fan or friend of Tom Cruise. I think he's a great actor and has great movies, but he gets a little maniacal laugh and grin that he can't seem to stop. And that's what Jake does. I'm crazy about you, and he starts and it's just a little scary to me.
But probably nowhere nearly as good as Tom going, well, really what I want to say is... I don't think it's that dramatic. That's an interesting comparison because I'm not really seeing that. You know, when I look at Jake, this is a real good-looking guy. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if he has career aspirations or what after the show is done, you know, but I could see this guy doing sports, maybe for ESPN, special consultant or contributing reporter. I mean, he has a really good presence on camera. And as a matter of fact, let me ask you all this, since you're closer to the situation than I am. Have you all heard anything about him possibly being the next Bachelor? What's up with that?
That's who, you know, I always watch The Bachelor and Bachelorette in those terms. I'm thinking, who are they building up? Who are they showing a lot of camera time with? Who are people identifying with? And I actually think they may be creating this, calling him, I'm the good guy. The good guy never wins. You know, that sounds to me like we're going to help the good guy. Who wants the good guy? I think a lot of women would turn up because a lot of women like for someone to obsess over them like that. And if he doesn't, you know, Jeffrey, I'm not so sure he's not going to come back, you know?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Ooh, we're talking about a little post-episode trailer action, and we'll definitely get into that in the next
one. So if that doesn't happen, if he doesn't end up with Jillian, I think he's a good contender for The Bachelor.
I'll tell you
Lisa,
what.
You love him, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Lisa doesn't appreciate my
constant downgrading of Jake.
I can tell.
Ed, all the way, Ed.
I can tell. And, you know, we may not be finished with that. You know, there could be some kind of surprise in the works. But, you know, we'll get into that down the road here. But, you know, we're talking about how great Jake is and, you know, what great camera presence that he's got. I'm telling you, Jillian, was she wearing a leopard print scarf? Was that kind of... I got to tell you, my God, I mean, I heart leopard print. I mean, I'll do anything from yard work to doing bedtime story duty for leopard print. I mean, it just makes me weak in the knees like a lovesick fool in a country song. You know, here's a little idea for you, Wes. I want credit anyway, but it's just, you know, idiots.
Yeah, I wonder about men and leopard print. I like it in small doses, and I did like the scarf. I don't like the full outfit with the leopard dress and the leopard shoes and the leopard purse, but yeah, a little leopard here and there is good.
You know, and if I may kiss Jillian's something one more time here, during the first part, I think it was the date with Randy, or Robbie, I should say, they had these cutaways of her. You know, they do these little, you know, sit-downs, and they insert them into the show. And, I mean, this is just one striking-looking young lady, and she just has the most vivid eyes. And she also has great taste in earrings. I mean, you know, Jillian, if by, you know, some slim 0.001% chance you're listening, nice job, girl.
She has great style. If you think about on previous Bachelorettes, they're in warm weather, they're in the pool, they're in their bathing suits, and she's had to wear this winter gear, and yet she makes it look so cute and sexy with her boots tucked into her jeans, and I really admire her style.
I think she's got a great career in the clothing industry as a, you know, a head person or an advisor or something like that. I mean, you know, I don't know if they're choosing her wardrobe for her. I don't think so. I think she's got a pretty good sense of style, and that would be kind of an interesting little behind-the-scenes quest, you know, for somebody like me who's interested in more than just, you know, this craziness and stuff like that with all the dates and all that. Speaking of which, first lip lock of the night, Jilly Tipton, and I'm thinking, you know, like those old-timey planes back in the 1900s, you know, contact, you know, it took nearly an hour, but that was our first real romantic moment of the show.
Tipton always is. Tipton is one of Lisa's picks, and she's always quick to point out that their chemistry, I mean, it's like it's a magnet. It's like Jillian cannot stay away from him. It's so telling to watch her alone with these guys. Some she hugs, pats on the back, and that's the kiss of death. And with Tipton, it's just like she's got that leg over his leg and inches from his face immediately. She's so comfortable with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my favorites, too. But I tell you, we've got to talk some more a little bit about Reed, and we will as we go along here. I mean, he just really emerged in this episode. But we're going to get to that in just a second because we have to talk about another no moment, and that's Tanner and his skivvies.
Lisa, take it. Lisa is a little obsessed with that scene, and her face is getting red. I wish you could see her.
I know what the P stands for in Tanner P now. Package.
Yeah, good things come in big packages too, Jeffrey.
I have no answer for that. And I just, you know, but me, you know, looking at it from a guy's perspective here, you know, not to mention, you know, you're on national freaking TV, dude, you know, let alone in front of the potential girl of your dreams, man. I mean, Lord, and this leads me to perhaps the line of the week from Michael. And I believe you said something to the effect of, I don't know if it's something you shared on The Bachelorette. Complete agreement, dude. I mean,
yeah,
oh my God.
Well, they had to blur it out, Jeffrey. He's still wearing the underwear just like a swim trunk, and they had to blur it out. So, I'm sorry. As women, we just keep thinking about talking about Tanner P. I saw him in a whole different light. I think he realized, look, this is one of my best assets. I'm going to have to pull out my best. We got my best
out the big gun.
And, you know, Jillian looked like she was embarrassed, but doggone it, she was sneaking little peeps out.
Yeah,
I saw it, you know.
Yeah, she was. Yep. So I guess he said, you know, I think he could see the writing on the wall and feel like this was his last shot. So he thought, I'm doing it.
You know, I haven't thought about it that way, but, you know, I have in my notes here Tanner P's last feet flamed. And did he actually say her feet were ridiculously awesome?
In the middle of her trying to have a deep conversation with him, your feet are so soft. I mean, he's just obsessed. I mean, you know, that's all he talked about was the other guys and the feet. I mean, there was no relationship talk.
Well, let me ask you all something. You know, this is an interesting, you know, perspective or question that I have for you here. And if it's controversy or something, you know, whatever, you know, just tell me and we'll go on to the next thing. But do women like but massages. I mean, is it a cool thing for you guys? I mean, you know, we know you love, you know, a little suntan lotion, honey. Oh, sure, let me do it for you routine and all that, you know. But just what about the footsies and stuff like that? Or is this like an overblown Quentin Tarantino's way to a woman's heart school way of thinking? I mean, tell me, you know, this is interesting.
Well, Lisa, what do you go first? What do you think?
I think it would just depend on the person. I mean, some women have very sensitive feet. I don't mind it, but I don't want somebody sitting there telling me, oh, you've got 9.5 or 10, you know, feet if you have mango on your toenails.
I liked it when my dog used to lick my toes. Does that count, Jeffrey?
Again, I'm not going to touch that, but I wish you guys could see me right now. It's a shame that we don't. By the way, I'm hoping to have a MacBook Pro next week, and my God, if you guys could see me right now while you're talking.
Is your mouth hanging open?
I mean,
you
it's
know,
like,
Jeffrey, I actually did some research on that mango polish. I Googled it, and there is the closest thing I could find was, because I thought, is this product placement? Because he could have said any color nail polish.
Yeah.
He could have said red nail polish. He said mango, and there is something called Mad About Mango by Revlon, and it is scented. Get that. So I think that's, and it smells like mangoes, so I think that's probably what he was talking about.
And I'd like to ask the makers of mango, or whatever the hell it is, if they'd like to sponsor the show, please contact us at,
That's true. I just gave him a plug, didn't I? Oops.
I'm just glad Jillian wasn't wearing that because,
oh, no.
I mean, who
those
knows
toes
were
going in
the
so to speak.
I got to tell you guys, the candidate for perhaps the funniest moment on TV this year has to be, and it could have been manipulated, and, you know, when I blurt it out, you know, we'll talk about that, but Tanner's talking about Jillian's feet and segueing directly about his lust over her feet and going, I want to meet her family. And I'm just rolling off my damn couch, man.
I know. I found out how soft her feet were, I want her to meet my family. I wanted Tanner to stay so we could meet that family because who hatched that guy? I mean, I got to know. And are they all obsessed? Would they all have grabbed Jillian's feet when she walked into their home? I just wonder.
They wouldn't have had a table full of food. They would have had like a bucket full of salt water or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you have to take your shoes off when you walk in the door.
You mean Dr. Shell's foot bath.
It's all pedicure together.
I mean, and I could see the little date, you know, he'd be having this little package and stuff, and it'd be one of these Dr. Scholl's foot massages or, you know, this little water, kind of like a whirlpool type thing for her feet.
Absolutely.
And now we'll never know.
I know, I'm really disappointed about that one. And Jake, I think it would have been interesting to see Jake's flying his plane. I'm sure he would have taken her on a plane trip.
Well, she missed out on that, but anyway.
Maybe not.
Sorry, we keep getting ahead of ourselves here.
Well, who knows? You know, exactly. You know, it was a great rose ceremony this week, but let's talk a little bit more about Michael. And Michael, again, I'm thinking this kid, like poor Randy that we talked about earlier. Randy, right? It's interesting
because
we have so many. Beg your pardon?
Robbie.
Oh, Robbie. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, you got to have a scorecard even at this point in the show. But, you know, Michael, very much like, you know, our late great, well, not late great, he's still with us, but he's no longer on the show, you know, the bartender gone. And Michael is just, I swear, too hyperactive for me at times. And he's got this annoying voice, you know, that kind of like teenage years, my voice is in transition and I can't really talk that well, you know. And I just, oh man, if I were a woman, I just don't think I'd dig it, you know.
No, we don't dig Michael. We don't have children and we don't want a child. That's definitely what Michael is. You know, he said that he understands that she thinks of him as the young buck and all that. You know, I think that was in a later conversation. My impression of him is like a frat guy, and he swears that he's not that kind of guy. He's not a one-night stand kind of guy, that he's very serious. He wants to be a young father. And, you know, I'm just not sure. I think he's just caught up in it. I think he has a crush. He's not in love. He has a crush.
Women have great perspectives. I mean, smart women like Jillian, and a crush, you know, you can detect it from a mile away, and crush is just not as appealing as, say, potential real love down the line.
No, not a father of your children, not someone you want to support you and start a family with. And Jillian, I think she's just 29, I believe, but she's very mature for her age, I think.
Is she actually that old? Well, I don't want to say that old, because that's not old by a long stretch, but 29, I did not know that, because
yeah,
she looks like she's about 21 or something.
Yeah, she's got a youthful spirit and look, but she's, you know, she's mature. She's had to take care of herself for a while, I think, and I think she's just looking for somebody serious, although she's tempted by the fun guys, you know.
Yeah, and that's just kind of that's an interesting kind of ironic kind of twist right there. You know, you've got this girl who's really got a good head on her shoulders, extremely smart, extremely bright, and yet she prefers these interesting characters like Wes that we'll definitely get into a little bit more a little bit later on down the line here. But I want to talk about Tanner P. You know, he a few weeks ago he was kind of playing Tattletale and stuff like that. And your thoughts on his fessing up moment, was that cool to you, or? Or do you think perhaps it kind of affected the outcome of his role on the show?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, it was almost like Tanner felt that his time was up with the pulling down of the pants and the confessing
right.
to the other guys. It's like, I'm coming clean with all this. And I think that was big of him to actually come out and finally say it, that he was the one who did it. And I think all the guys were fairly supportive except for Wes. And because it was about Wes. He said, I hate a tattletale, you know, but I think Jake was kind of behind it because Jake wants Jillian to know. So I think it maybe saved face a little bit. You were the one who was kind of down on him for doing it in the first place. I didn't really have a problem with it, but do you think he kind of saved face and cleaned his slate by doing that?
I think so. You know, like I said, I'm not keen on somebody trying. I mean, you're looking at ruining a moment that one guy has with this very beautiful girl. And Jillian is more beautiful than what she presents on the outside. I mean, she has this inner beauty that's just irresistible. And, you know, if I were a guy, you know, being jeopardized by, you know, this dweeb. At the time, I thought it was a dweeb, but I really grew in the last couple of weeks to really like Tanner a lot. So I was cool with it. I was definitely on his side, and I was becoming a fan of his. But, you know, let's go ahead and talk about Jake. You know, earlier we talked about, you know, Jake, you missed the moment, man, and then when he finally did go for broke, it was just awesome, awesome, awesome. And I wonder, I think it caught Jillian off guard because, for one thing, it looked like she really hadn't done her makeup yet, and my God, she still looked gorgeous to me. But despite this moment, too little, too late, as we'll discuss. But do you guys think perhaps he should have been, you know, he should have went for it earlier, like I said?
Yeah, to me, it was no secret how he felt about her, but I can't ever remember what does we see that Jillian doesn't get to see. But I think she could tell that he was really feeling strongly to her. And I think the fact that I don't think he actually, didn't he say, Lisa, I can't tell you I'm in love with you, but
I have very strong feelings.
Think he regretted not going in for the kiss. And, of course, the guys came out and interrupted him. And, you know, probably the producers told him to come out there and interrupt him. I don't know. They sure have great timing doing that. But maybe if he grabbed her and kissed her, it would have swept her off her feet. I don't know.
And, of course, you know, that led to, you know, that segued into my favorite moment of the week, and that was the date between Reed and Jillian. And I got to tell you, he's become a favorite of mine. I like this guy. And when they moved back to the hotel and Jillian had that pretty blue sweater on with the white trim, again, Jillian, thumbs up from this Roger Ebert guy. Anyway, nice. But I just... Did you feel the heat from this? God, I sound like a power station song, but, you know, I, honest to God, felt some real, I mean, this was like, you know, really, really, you know, man, this is happening stuff.
Well, actually, I didn't, Jeffrey.
Really?
I felt like Reed came across as neurotic.
Well, of course, oh, gosh, you know, he's neurotic to a capital N, but I just, oh my God, I just felt, you know, maybe she, Jillian was into the moment and all that, and she was just humoring him, but, you know, I think at this point in the competition, I think that, and I hate to say a competition because, you know, it's a woman's heart and a man's heart that we're talking about here, but I think Reed is a potential dark horse here. What about you guys?
I think Jillian seems to be turned on by flaws. When you admit a flaw to her, it makes her feel closer to you as opposed to the perfect Jake and the other guys who are always trying to say just the right thing. And Reed had plenty of them. He's afraid of fondue. He's afraid of brunettes.
He's afraid to take the rose.
Yeah, he's afraid of the rose. And to me, those are the cute, quirky things when you're dating. But Lisa, what happens when you get married?
That's the demise of the relationship. You know, I think it freaked Reed out because she said she doesn't wash her vegetables.
Oh, no.
That is wrong, Jillian. You must wash your vegetables.
Yeah. You don't know who's touched those.
Yeah, but no, I think, at least I think you like Reed after that date.
Yeah, I like him, and I think I think he's coming over kind of humorously, and you're not taking it that way.
Yeah, I'm taking the fact that he said, you're not my type. My type doesn't look like you. I like blondes. Well, what do you mean not your type? Well, they don't look like you. You know, I would think, he thinks I'm ugly. But Lisa took it totally different and said, no, he's quirky and fun and being honest with her and is maybe being having a dry sense of humor. So I just missed that. But you and Lisa sound like you're on the same wavelength there.
But definitely. I think he's quirky, and I love quirky. You know, some of my best friends are quirky, and I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, we talked a lot about favorite groups and people and music and television, and Paul McCartney is one of mine, of course, and Paul said recently in an interview, you know, I think you gotta be a little crazy to be in this business, you know, so I have always dealt really well with quirky people, just as long as they don't go over the line and they have me going, you know, talking only reminds me that you were here, shut up, you know, I mean, there's a difference between quirky and overly quirky, you know, where you're getting on my nerves or whatever, but, you know, Reed, I've known people like this guy, and I really like him, and you know what, I don't think he's my pick, but I'm rooting for him, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's good that I think he's getting closer to Jillian and kind of letting down his guard, so, and I think she's feeling him, I really do.
And let me tell you this, you know, I mean, you know, I just finished praising the skies out of this guy, but yet I'm telling you probably one of the worst lines this week and something I never would have said, you know, in front of cameras, you know, and he said this in front of cameras to boot, you know, he's talking about the first time that he saw Jillian the night that they all drove all the guys up there in the limos and what have you, and he goes, well, you stood out to me, and I'm thinking, well, I should hope so. I mean, God forbid you had a thing for one of the male crew members instead, man, and you know, then we'd have a spinoff series, by God, but just, oh man, what a stupid thing to say. Oh, you stood out to me. Oh my God, you know, she was dressed to the nines, you know. You know, as women, you would like to be noticed like that, but oh, what a stupid thing to say, but we all make mistakes. So anyway, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I didn't really take it that way so much. I think that Jillian took it as flattery, and you know what I would love to do, Jeffrey, is go back and watch that first episode, and I think it's at abc.com, to see those initial reactions again, when they first met, and their the package where they showed what they were thinking when they first saw Jillian and what they came there for, because I've forgotten it all. I'd really go back and see that, but I'd say they all probably acted a little differently on that first meeting. I'd like to go back and see that. But Lisa, what about the red ear statement? We can't forget that. To me, that was...
Oh, I nearly forgot about that. Oh, my gosh.
See, now, you and I probably see it the same way. I thought he was being funny when, you know, he said that red ears meant that you were either horny or had high blood pressure. And he told her he had high blood pressure.
She said, well, I do too. To me, that would be a rejection. To me, that would be saying, I'm not attracted to you. And maybe I'm just paranoid. Am I neurotic as
Reed? You are. You're in the opposite direction. What did you think of that, Jeffrey?
I thought it was like, what in the hell is he talking about? You know, and
the H word you probably shouldn't use on your when you first meet somebody either.
Exactly. You know, not on national television, for God's sake. You know, I mean, my God, the thing is, you know, we've gotten so comfortable as a society. You know, we don't realize that there are cameras everywhere, you guys. There are cameras focused on us when we're in the Walmart or the Jiffy Mart, and it's like, you know, oh my God, well, you know, in instances like that, you can't be on all the time and making jokes and going, hey, I'm a comedian, I'm in the Jiffy Mart and all that. You know, you got to live our lives and stuff like that, but just when there are actual cameras and lights and deer and stuff around you, you know? I mean, just, oh my God, it's just absolute. I can go on about this for a half hour.
Jeffrey,
but
Jeffrey, we just said it on a national talk show. Should we have not have done that?
Moving on, moving on. Let's go on to the you girls.
Can you beat us, please?
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the pre-rose ceremony, Christopher doing his weekly little repartee with the star of the show. And, you know, Jillie's talking about Wes, and she's got stars in her eyes. We all know about her musician fixation. And she goes, something I really related to, he's a Southern man, and I'm going to the TV, you know, jokingly, of course, you know, here, honey, here, you know.
Yeah, Southern gentleman, that's you, Jeffrey.
Exactly, and like an infamous war song in this part of the country where I hail from, I'm a Southern man, and this Southern man don't need Wes around anyhow, sweet home Alabama, you know.
Exactly.
So anyway.
You know, you see Chris Harrison just biting his lip, trying to be the observer, the neutral, great host that he is.
Right.
And she says, I don't think Wes even knows how to lie. And I think I saw Chris's lips get thinner and thinner and tighter and tighter. And he just wanted to shake her. But I don't know how he does it.
I don't either. Bless his heart, you know. And he's a Southern man, too. You know, he's from Texas, you know, good old Texas boy, done good. And I just, you know, God, I don't know if I could be the host of this show because I think, well, you know, I don't want to say Chris doesn't have a conscience, but he's got a job to do. You know, he's got to be the observer. He's got to be the impartial guy. But just, oh, my God, you know, I don't know if, on a side note, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Chris's wife is also from Texas, and, you know, Southern women, you know, they don't mess around. They'll tell you exactly what they think, as you all know, and I know, too.
I've heard that.
And when this Jason moment was about to happen on The Bachelorette, Chris's wife turns to Jason Mesnick and just goes, women are just absolutely going to hate you. And Chris being, you know, so diplomatic and Mr. Nice Guy and all that, you know, hey, Jason, let's go get a Coke or something like that, you know?
And when he plans to dump Melissa on national television.
Exactly. There you go. And I can imagine that Chris and his wife are on the same wavelength about a lot of stuff. I know this is conversational fodder at home, you know. And, you know, Chris, you know, you're absolutely right, guys. I mean, he just is just like, oh, my God, you know, what is she going to do when she finds out the truth, you know? And is this truth going to come out before or after the band performance that was in the trailer or whatever? But we'll talk about that more in just a little bit, you know. And I know we're running out of time here. And let's just go ahead and go to the rose ceremony and talk about an old God moment, you know. Jillian all of a sudden goes, can I borrow Michael for a minute, please, you know?
I know, and the guys are like, what the heck? What's going on now? They immediately congregated together, and who was it all of a sudden? I think it was Jesse who said, who's got the girlfriend?
Exactly. And, you know, and it's got to come out, you know. I mean, just it's so sad and just so pathetic. And let me tell you something, you know, getting back to the rose ceremony, you know, proper, you know, when Jilly takes those deep breaths, you know, I don't think she's putting on the dog, which is an old England-based showbiz saying, you know, she's not putting on for the cameras because she's really alternately feeling this pressure. And it's endearing to me. It's very sweet. I mean, this is a very caring young lady, but to give a rose to Jesse, who was barely in this episode, and he gets a rose?
Well, Jesse's one of my favorites just on past things. And once again, I like wine a lot, and he's a winemaker. And he lives in Carmel, which is one of the most beautiful cities in the country, I would say.
All right.
So I think she's keeping that in mind. But he's just, he's very quiet and sensible and stoic. And I can see, as a girl, I can see it. I can see that, whether he, you know, stood out that episode or not.
I mean, you know, evidently he made what little quality time he had with her count, but just, you know, you got to take into consideration what happened in the last few weeks, and just, I'm hoping to go back and kind of look at some of the episodes again. Probably going to have to fast forward through them and all that, but I'm telling you, Jesse was a shoo-in compared to Wes. And I mean, my thoughts, and we talked about this before we went on the air, not enough low-end notes on the piano, Mr. Soundtrack Man. I mean, it was just like, oh, and the look on Tanner P. and Jake's faces. I mean, just, let's go ahead and cut to the chase here. Bless his heart, Tanner P., I'd really began to like this guy, and even though I didn't pull a Michael weeping over Robbie moment, you know, I have to admit, I was just a little choked up for this guy.
At least you've gotten kind of soft on Tanner P. the last, even before the package incident.
Yeah, true. I mean, you know, he didn't have a snowball's chance, but, doggone. I mean, he just really, I mean, he was crushed. He was crushed.
He was. And, you know, I don't even think he could say anything. You know, it's always interesting to see what the guys who are not given the rose reactions are when they make that long walk over to Jillian. You know, they'll ask her why, or they just say nothing, or, you know, and I think he just hugged her and was choked up. I really do.
But, you know, Tanner P., we all know that there was just no way that he was going to wind up with Jilly. I mean, the chemistry wasn't there or what have you, but let me tell you all something, Jake, I thought Jake was going to wind up being one of the final two, and man, he just couldn't believe it, and neither could I. And I'm going, you know, to the TV, Jillian, you know, bless his heart. I mean, this guy, you know, we kid about him, you know, being perhaps a little bit too, you know, potentially crazy, but not crazy like Crazy Dave was a few weeks ago. But
no, not that crazy.
Not
he's
that
like
crazy.
Top gun kind of guy.
Exactly, you know, but just I really thought, I'll tell you, it would not have surprised me if things had turned out differently if it had been Jake and Wes in the finals, you know?
Yeah, and I think Jake, you know, think about how Jake reacted when he went over to her, and he was like, quickly, tell me why, in her ear. This is my theory about Jake, Jeffrey, and you may not be the least bit interested in my theories. I know Lisa is very tired of my theories, but Jake's personality, he's a perfectionist. He said that. Jake does not like to lose. Jake has kind of a military presence about him. I don't know if he's ever been in the military, but that is my impression of him.
Yeah, right, right.
His assignment was to win this girl's heart. I'm going on the show. This is my project. What's my assignment? My assignment is to win her heart. And he's thinking of this more in competition than actually stopping and feeling inside. I think it's all a mission, and I think Jillian senses that. And that's just my theory. He doesn't want to lose.
It's a very interesting perspective because, you know, we're doing the show. You know, my show originates out of Huntsville, Alabama, where we have a lot of people in the military here. You know, this is the home of one of NASA's big headquarters and Redstone Arsenal and all that. And I've been surrounded by military people all my life. You know, my father was in the Army, served in both WW2 and Korea. And that's yet another thing I'm going to have to go back and pick up on. You know, I'm very impressed with these little impressions that I'm getting here from you guys.
See, so Lisa, it's not stupid.
I started to say, I wouldn't waste your time going back to see if you can find where she got that, because it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, well, you know, different strokes for different folks, la, 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 you know, but just, I just find that interesting. Well, Lisa, you jump in here. What's your thought about Jake's departure?
I was floored. I'm like you. I thought he was going to be in the final two. I can't believe she chose Michael over over Jake. I mean, I haven't seen any, you know, contact, romantic contact between Jillian and Michael.
Amen. I agree.
It's just fun.
And, you know, fun only gets you so far as a relationship. You know, like I think when she was talking about Robbie at the beginning, you know, it's like, you know, I would love to date you. I think we're going to be friends for life, but I cannot see you as a life partner.
Right.
And see, to me, I thought Robbie had a huge advantage over Michael, despite the fact that they're both very young and, you know, they've got a little bit of growing up to do. Sorry, boys, but it's true. And it's like, you know, I just cannot believe that I would have let Tanner P. hang around for another week just for the comic relief rather than choosing Michael. And I'm thinking, you know, is Michael going to be on the cover of Tiger Beat or something? Because, you know, that's the only reason I would keep him around if I were one of the producers.
He is cute. He's just not my type.
He's bringing breakdancing back.
Yeah, exactly. Either that or, you know, if there's a Wham reunion and George Michael doesn't want to be involved, I mean, you know, maybe, but just, oh my God. But, you know, let's go ahead and cut to this amazing trailer, and I got to give props to the production crew. What a hell of a trailer. I don't think I've seen a trailer that good for the latest, for the five latest action-adventure movies at the movie theater. I mean, talk about some exciting stuff coming back. I mean, you know, is Eddie coming back? Is there going to be a rumble in the jungle between Jake and Wes, you know? Is Jilly going to have a group date with Wes's band? I mean, you know, it's just, what's going to happen, girls? Your thoughts before as we wind this thing up?
I wish they could just show all the rest of the season in one night. I can't stand. I want to see the breakdown in the fantasy suite. I want to know whose boots those were, those cowboy boots walking down the hallway that were coming back.
Somebody just comes back and proposes, and that might be Crazy Dave.
Oh, no.
That'd be better. That's 10 times better than Bobby popping back on the shower on Dallas.
I predict Jake and Ned are going to be back. I don't think Ed would propose to her. He's too sensible. I think Jake is going to what's the movie, Officer and a Gentleman moment. He's going to come in and try to swoop Jillian up. I don't know that that's going to go too well.
Yeah, he might get his little uniform dirty, but oh my gosh. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, we talked about Jake possibly being the next Bachelor, depending on, you know, if he wants to really get a shot at love in these crazy circumstances. What do you think about Ed being the next Bachelor, guys? What about Ed?
How quick can you get a divorce and be on? Is there an age limit on that show? Because if it's Ed, I'm just gotta gotta try.
Ed can't even be commit to this show.
That's true. Ed, I feel about Ed like you feel about Jillian. It's just the perfect package, so to speak, with Ed.
It's like that song in Flashdance. He's a dream.
He is a dream.
And she's a dream, too, you know. And, boy, I just have a feeling we're going to have some incredibly fun conversations and hopefully more conversations in which I'll learn a little bit and get some neat little female perspective on this thing. And guys, as always, it's always such a pleasure. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Plug time once again. Please tell the folks about your site and where they can hear your own podcast as well.
Okay, we're part of the Beauty Broads Network. You go to www.beautybroads.com. And you'll see our faces there on the homepage, and you just click on us, and you can read our blog there or listen to our weekly podcast, Celebrity Side Dish Podcast, or you can find us on iTunes, Celebrity Side Dish Podcast with Dina and Lisa.
And just it's always a wonderful time. And, you know, before we taped here, you know, I hate to bring this down on a downer, but actually before we recorded this particular take on this week's episode of The Bachelorette, we were talking about the tragic departures of Ed McMahon and Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson. And are you guys talking about that on your show this week? Actually, well, Michael broke after you guys stopped recording that, right?
Oh, yeah, it did. We did a segment on Ed McMahon planned on our way to record the podcast. We heard on the car radio that Farrah Fawcett had passed. So we just did a little opening. We planned to do a kind of a retrospective on her next week. And then when we shut down our recording, we saw that Michael had died. So maybe we're going to do a combo, Michael, Farrah, and I'm sure you, being the movie guy, are going to do something like that too.
Right, right. Well, before we, you know, you guys were so lovely to take some time and talk to me about, to each other, all three of us, about our various recollections of these three wonderful entertainers. And these three people were a part of my childhood years into my adult years. And if you're interested, you can hear Dina, Lisa, and myself talking about Farrah, Michael, and Ed on the website. And of course, my website is, for now, actually, it is www.thedvdmarquee.com. All of the episodes that you're hearing are sneak preview episodes of the culture of pop, and that eventually you will be able to hear these pop culture shows on my new talk show at www.theculturofpop.com, and that's going to be at the end of July. But for right now, you can find me at thedvdmarquee.com. I don't think I've said www so many times in my life. Anyway, girls, next week, I take it, same time, same station?
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Thank you, girls. Thank you so much. And for the Culture of Pop and the DVD Marquee and my good friends at Red Abstract Incorporated, I'm Jeffrey Rosado. And until we meet again, amigos, bye for now. And Jillian, call me.